And we're back.
And we're back. Mr. T be back.
It's really hard to get back in exactly the same position, so it looks like we're live. We're not really. We're actually on a beach in Hawaii, right?
Right. I mean, there's all these pretty boxes and lights above us and all that stuff and beaches.
I can't wait till the end of February when, you know, we can carry on. Anyway, enough of that silliness. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how we can enable dev and test kind of scenarios. And I want you to think about dev test not as something that you switch off on and, you know, the word dev kind of you all kind of filter out. This could be testing new SharePoint deployments. It could be testing a service pack to see if it impacts an application. It could be testing a third-party product running in a VM. So it's really just the concepts and how you can use some of Azure's pieces, if you like, to make it easy. We're figuring it's the end of the day. I have a massive two slides to show you, and then I'm going to get into a demo. So what's really funny is the animation makes the computer disappear. Awkward. The whole concept is we're playing around with some automation that we've already seen, but also the concept of things being disposable. So I can create a VM, do some testing, and then get rid of it. Create the VM again, do some testing, get rid of it. Create the VM again. You get the idea. So one thing that kind of enables this is really the point to site connectivity. So I'm going to flip across into my virtual machine. And remember that virtual machine, the VHD we were uploading? It did upload. It took 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 17 seconds. That would have been one excellent session at TechEd, wouldn't it?
There you go.
In this session, we'll watch a VHD get uploaded.
And that'll be it.
We should walk away, go and get some beer, come back an hour later and be like, hey, any questions on that? It'd be awesome.
Well, thing one would be able to pull that off, maybe.
Awesome. So so that's uploaded. We've got this virtual machine, running in here. Remember, we created a big and test MV. And now I want to connect to it. And the scenario I thought we'd look at is I want to connect to it, but I don't want to go through the public internet because I'm not quite sure all the ports I need to open and all that kind of thing. So remember how we we created these virtual networks. Well, I've got a virtual network here called DCVNet, and I actually have that Bacon Test VM in the VNet. And part of the configuration of the VNet, you can see the Bacon Test VM just down here, part of the configuration is actually a point-to-site network. Now, to get a point-to-site network to work, you need to generate a certificate and then upload that certificate. And each machine that needs to connect needs to have that certificate installed on it. So this is how you control who can access it. I've already gone ahead and put the certificate in. And now I'm going to download the client. And this is just Windows networking. It's not anything particularly special or custom for Windows Azure. It's going to generate me a little executable. I'm going to run that. Good old Windows goes, ooh, that doesn't look good. We're going to run it anyway because I trust Windows Azure. We're going to say, yes, go ahead and run that. And what's going to happen is it's going to install the domain, the VNet connection up to the DC VNet. So now it's installed. If I click on my normal Windows 8 networking, you can see I've got my DC VNet here. And all I need to do is click on connect. That'll bring up the dialog. We'll click on continue and continue. It's going to modify my routing table so that it knows that machines with certain IP address ranges are actually up in Windows Azure now. So we're connected now, as you can see there. And what we should be able to do now is go and connect to this machine at 10.0.0.1.4.8. So if we go and not do that, if we go and do remote desktop connection, we'll feed in 10.0.0.1.4.8. We'll actually connect up to this machine. I have no idea what username and password I picked for this. So this might be an epic fail on here. We'll say yes. Looks like we're going to connect. Ah, don't have that account logged in. Oh, pen. I think it's the password. But what we can do is we can connect not going through the IP address that is the public IP address, but actually go through that virtual network and connect up there. Now,
so how does that work from the RDP side of things?
So let's just drill in.
Thing one, what's going on?
Just went a bit weird. It's all this time I haven't had a drink. I don't know what to say. If we dig into here, the VM has two IP addresses. One is the public IP address, which is 131.117.10.101.17, and then it has an internal IP address, which is the 10.0.0.1.48. So what we are able to do with this VPN connection is hit the internal IP address on there. In fact, we have another machine running called Server 2012 VM. Its IP address is 10.0.0.1.32. And I should actually be able to go and ping, 10.0.0.1.32, and actually get a reply back from that. And you're probably all wondering, haha, how did you get a reply back from it? Well, I'd already RDP'd in the box and opened up the firewall to respond to echo requests, just in case you're wondering what we did.
Look at you.
Now, this is particularly kind of interesting because as a developer, and I swore I would get Visual Studio in somehow, what I can do, and you can all kind of gloss over this. What we can do now is when we're in Visual Studio and we're publishing our website, we can actually go and hit this IP address now, and we don't have to open up any endpoints on Windows Azure. We can just go in here, hit publish, and it, assuming I haven't messed anything up, it'll go ahead and publish on a website into here, assuming it gets the password and everything right on there. So what's great is this is no different than the virtual machine running on my local machine, except it's now running in the cloud. And look, it tries to hit my test VM 343, but guess what? It doesn't have a DNS entry in any DNS server that my machine's talking to. So instead, I've got to go and hit that IP address, which is that. If I go and hit that, we should get our little ASP.NET page coming up that I sat in and built earlier and was really quiet typing, I think.
You're learning thing one.
That's going to be my kind of, you know, special name, Types Hard.
Types Hard.
And look, I made the page and I said, we love IT.
Look at you. You are thing one. You're adaptive. I like that.
It's fantastic. So that's kind of one scenario where we can deploy virtual machines into Windows Azure, use the point-to-site connectivity to connect up to them, and then, you know, we can be on our laptops and you know, have our VMs deployed, do our testing and all that kind of thing. But, you know, having a one box to connect to is great, but sometimes we have more complicated applications. So what I want to show you now is a script I made earlier. And this just, again, builds on all of the things that we've been looking at earlier in the day. And if I click on here, it shows the script. And essentially, the setup for this is fairly straightforward. We have a storage account that contains a whole ton of VHDs. And the scenario of this is quite straightforward as well. In fact, if I go into here, I've got my Contoso Dev Store 2. And if I go into the containers on this and go into expenses base, essentially what my IT team, because I'm pretending I'm a developer now, thing one is now a developer.
Okay.
My IT team have put together some VHDs, some virtual machines that I can use for testing. And this comprises of a domain controller, a database, and an app server and a web server. So I can deploy my three-tier app and test it. And even more better, they've given me a PowerShell script that actually goes and makes a copy of this and deploys it into my account. So if I flip into here, what we're basically doing in this PowerShell script is we're going to start a copy of those blobs.
Well, that's even more better.
It's double better.
And
then we wait for them to copy, and then it's all just beautiful PowerShell. We go and add them all as disks, and then we go and create all the virtual machines that we need to create. There's the domain controller, here's the web one, and the app server, and the database. So I can run this script, and within a few minutes, have my entire three-tier app deployed. And when I don't need it, then I run my little clever delete everything script, and it gets rid of them, and all the billing meters stop, except for the few cents a month we're going to pay to kind of store these images. Now, you might be thinking, well, we can do this on premises, we've got some test hardware. But when your app goes into production, what we find is you're now working on the next project, and all your test hardware is set up for the next project. And then you get a problem come through from production, and you're like, I haven't got any test hardware. So doing this enables you to go and get that hardware and deploy your application to it. And if we run that, it's going to be as inspiring and as beautiful as all the other things we've run in the last couple of hours, in that we have a PowerShell script and it's going to write some stuff on the screen.
But there's power in that PowerShell script of deploying all those resources.
Absolutely. And the copy is actually finished. And now we're adding the disks, and you can follow the status down in the bottom of the screen here. But we're done with the copy. Copying even a few hundred gigs like we did within the same storage account is just almost instant. Right. So the time it takes to basically start a few VMs, I've got my full environment kind of spinning up. And I can run this for a couple of hours, do all my testing, and then get rid of it when I'm done.
Very powerful.
It is awesome.
Mr. T is not a developer, but he's a little
bit impressed. I'm surprised, because I always had Mr. T as the dev in that whole group.
No.
No?
Mr. T don't do no development.
Mr. T was the IT guy. He was the CTO, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break now, and we'll be back for the final session. Do stay with us, and we'll see you in...
10, but monitoring, connecting, sorry, not monitoring, we already did monitoring. Connecting System Center and all of that orchestration, I mean, literally there is a very condensed amount of material here to get an idea for you of what you can do, and we have a lot more material for you after that. So Absolutely. Stay tuned for the last module. Mr. T says, I pity the fool who don't watch that last module.